My guest is Dion DiMucci. Dion's hits included Teenager in Love, Runaround Sue, The Wanderer, and Abraham Martin and John. Fans lost track of Dion since the 60s, although for the last few years he's been recording Christian music. He's beginning a commercial comeback that started in June with a sellout concert at Radio City Music Hall. When I spoke with Dion from the studios of WLRN in Miami, where Dion now lives, he told me that his first musical influence was the country sound of Hank Williams. Then he heard rock and roll.
The first rock and roll I heard was like the Crows singing, you know, G and, you know, street corner groups, you know. And I went wild. I just started hanging out at the backstage at the Apollo Theater to cop some riffs off the Moon Glows and the Heartbeats and the Cadillacs and, you know, all those early street corner groups.
Did you have street corner harmony groups before you started recording?
Oh, yeah. There were a bunch of guys in my neighborhood and from, you know, different neighborhoods in Bronx, New York City that just took to the listening to the jukebox and learning the harmonies. And I kind of gathered up the best street corner singers in Bronx, New York City, and formed a group. And that was the beginning of Dion and the Belmonts. And we sang everywhere.
How did you get to make your first recording?
Well, a friend in Bronx, New York City, there was this songwriter who had a friend, who had a brother, who knew a guy who was opening up a record company. It was called Lori Records, and he just liked us, and we started recording, you know.
No.
Like you were really living the life that you sung about? Did you feel like the character of your songs, or was that more of a persona to you?
Like what song?
Well,
you mean if they
I'm
were
thinking
personal?
Of The Wanderer, I guess, especially.
Well, actually, The Wanderer was written about a character that hung up on the street corners of Bronx, New York City, in George's Bar. This guy had tattoos all over his body. Like on his left arm, he had this girl's name, Janie, tattooed because he was dating her. And then he started going out with Mary. So he had Janie covered up with a panther, and he got Rosie tattooed on his chest. And every time he dated another girl, he'd get these tattoos covered up. So he ended up with a whole bunch of tattoos all over his body. And the guy was a character. So we wrote this song called The Wanderer, you know, as a Flo on my left arm and Jeannie on my right, and Mary is the girl that I'll be with tonight. When she asks me which one I love the best,
a tear over my shirt and I show a rosy on my chest, cause I'm a wanderer.
I think it was assumed in the late 50s and the early 60s that rock and roll singers, when they grew up and became adults, had to learn how to do pop standards and show tunes so that they could play Vegas. And I think, in a way, Bobby Darin was the model for that.
Yeah.
Were you expected to do that when you, you know, as you were getting a little bit older?
Yes. And I'll be honest with you, it kind of threw me. you know, back then when you're that young, you want to be accepted and you think people know better. And you sometimes give up a piece of yourself just to please them.
You had had a drug habit starting when you were pretty young, I think. How did that affect you when you were coming of age and recording? Did that when did you realize it was a problem?
Well, I always used drugs. I mean, ever since I was a kid, like I think I started using drugs when I was 13. You know, the records and the rock and roll career was almost a diversion. And when things was slowing down, I think I got more involved in the drugs again, trying to fill that emptiness. Emotionally, I was really stuck, and I didn't know how to get out of it. And I think in 1968, April 1st, 1968, man, I just said a prayer. I said, God, help me. I don't know what's going on, but I need some help. And ever since that day, I haven't had a drug or a drink or a cigarette. It just took it right out of me. And I think from that moment on, I started growing spiritually. And I think that's what was missing.
So that's when you started getting religious?
If you want to use that word, I don't consider myself religious, but, you know, I would consider myself a man of prayer, trying to grow spiritually.
For the past few years, you've been singing and recording Christian songs. And probably a lot of your fans from years ago aren't even aware of the records you've been recording for the past few years. Is that true?
I know. Yes, it's very true. And how I found that out is I did a concert up at Radio City Music Hall, and it sold out, like, immediately. Now, I could do a concert in Long Island the week before in for maybe a Christian promoter who's putting together kind of a concert for the churches being advertised, you know, and 4,000 people will show up. But I think it's like almost like a different person, you know, because I do come up with a lot of the material I did on the last five albums for Word Music. And not that I neglect the old songs, but they're not Exhibit A in the concerts I've been doing over the last 10 years.
There's so many rock singers who have been so influenced by you, including Bruce Springsteen. Do you hear that a lot from performers? Do performers tell you how much you meant to them when they were starting out?
Yes, I hear that all the time. It's hard to relate to. You know, when I did Radio City Music Hall, Paul Schaefer came by and played piano, and the E Street Band, Steve Van Zandt was there, and just a bunch of people got up there. And, you know, when you go out and talk to some of these new performers, they tell you how you encourage them and you influence them, and it's just hard to relate to. But
why is it hard to relate to?
I don't know. It's just, you know, I know who inspired me. I accept it, but it's just hard to relate to. I don't know why.
Well, Dion, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us about your life.
Thanks, Terry.
Dion's next appearance is on August 28th at the Sands Hotel in Atlantic City.